NBC Monitor News on the Hour brought to you by Breck Concentrate, the family shampoo. Now with the news, Jeffrey Pond.
North Vietnam says American planes were back today over Hanoi in the air offensive that's apparently now reached unequaled intensity. The communists claim they shot down five American aircraft and captured some pilots. U.S. headquarters is silent on today's action, but it says three American jets and four communist MiGs were knocked down Thursday and Friday, increasing the week's toll to 14 planes lost by the U.S., at least 25 by North Vietnam. There's been a series of ground battles between the communists and American troops of the 1st Air Cavalry and AmeriCal divisions below Da Nang. U.S. spokesmen say 19 Americans and 131 of the enemy were killed, 75 Americans wounded. Near the demilitarized zone, North Vietnamese big guns have reportedly killed seven Marines and wounded 41. Nicaragua has offered to take part in the Vietnam War. The U.S. State Department says the Nicaraguans want to send a small military training unit to Vietnam, and the proposal is being considered. No Latin American countries now have troops in Vietnam. The inauguration of General Nguyen Van Thieu as South Vietnam's president next week may be a lucky break for some 5,000 political prisoners, mostly suspected Viet Cong. Saigon says they and 500 regular convicts will go free under an inauguration amnesty. Vice President Humphrey flies today from Honolulu to Saigon for the inaugural. North Vietnam said security precautions during his visit will be useless, but it made no clear threats. More news after this from Breck.
This is Ed McMahon. We've had a minor revolution at our house in the bathroom. I went to wash my hair the other day, and gone were all those old shampoo bottles, and in their place, just one plastic tube. Alice, that's my wife, said from now on, this was it, a one-family shampoo. And it's a good idea. It's a concentrate shampoo made to be an all-family shampoo. Now, being concentrated, just a little makes plenty of lather. It's great for cleaning up a load of kids like ours. And again, being concentrated, one tube goes a long way, so you're not forever running out. Now, because it's Breck, it's a very good shampoo, full of conditioners and all that stuff. It even suits baby fine hair like my older daughter Claudia's. And it's in a plastic tube, so you don't have to worry about the little ones breaking it. So when they asked me to talk about Breck Concentrate, I was really pleased because the whole McMahon family has checked it out, and it's good stuff.
Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
The 200 bishops of the Roman Catholic Synod today ended a month of work at the Vatican. Details from Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Rome.
The Roman Catholic Synod of Bishops ended its month-long meeting here today with an appeal to the major powers for world peace. It was plain that the appeal was directed to the United States and the Soviet Union, since the appeal from 200-odd Roman Catholic bishops said that the most powerful nations are also those most responsible for peace. The appeal called for these nations to spread justice and love. This closing note of the Synod underlined the Church's overriding concern for world peace. The document was drafted by bishops from Africa, Asia, the United States, and Europe. An important member of the drafting committee was Bishop Fulton Sheehan of Rochester, New York. Last summer, he urged President Johnson to withdraw American forces from Vietnam as a move to end the war. This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Rome.
In Oakland, California, one policeman died today in a gun battle, another was critically wounded, and so was a local leader of the militant Negro group, the Black Panthers. The shooting resulted from a traffic violation. The FBI and the police have spread a dragnet over the Midwest for the bank robbers who killed two policemen and wounded two yesterday in the Chicago suburb of Westlake. More in a moment.
Across the land, thousands of members of the Retail Clerks International Association retire from their jobs every year. They're not worried about their future security because their union agreements provided for employer-paid pensions. Before retirement, under provisions of their union contracts, they were assured good pay, good working conditions, and many on-the-job benefits. Now they can look forward to assured incomes for the rest of their lives. For more information, write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20036.
Moscow said today that the Chinese are the only communists who've completely ignored their invitation to the Bolshevik Revolution's 50th anniversary celebrations, which begin Thursday. China's tiny European ally, Albania, at least sent a formal rejection. Soviet officials said the focal point of the celebrations will be a speech by party chief Leonid Brezhnev on Friday. They said nothing about any spectacular ventures in space, but an unconfirmed report from England suggests that a Soviet spacecraft capable of carrying five men may be in orbit now. Again, the hour's top headline, the U.S. claims four more MiGs downed and reports three American planes lost Thursday and Friday. Hanoi says five U.S. aircraft were shot down today. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour when the Retail Clerks International Association brings you NBC Monitor News.
Now, the metropolitan area headlines on the conversation station, WNBC New York. 200 pickets are marching around City Hall in protest against a proposed law to register shotguns and rifles. The demonstrators represent sportsmen and collectors who say the proposed city ordinance will not stop crime, but will only serve to harass hunters and those who collect guns as a hobby. WNBC News reporter Bill Fitzgerald was...
Why are you here this morning protesting this proposed city gun law?
Gun control legislation will not do what they think it will. It will not stop crime. Anybody who lives in this city or any other part of this country knows for a fact that it's too easy to get a long gun or a pistol.
Do you say that the proposed law will do what to people who want to have guns?
It will restrict them. It will kill the sport, number one. The city will lose money. It will lose taxes. It will cost millions.
The demonstrators say they favor registration of all guns and the strict screening of all persons attempting to buy firearms. Federal authorities today set a $100,000 bond on Frederick Benjamin Thompson, an ex-convict who was captured in Chicago after being sought for the knife murder of a New Jersey socialite, Dorothy Beck Palmer. A U.S. commissioner imposed the high bond on the recommendation of an assistant U.S. attorney and postponed Thompson's arraignment until Wednesday. Federal Bureau of Investigation agents seized Thompson last night as he stood outside a Loop bus terminal in Chicago. This is Bill McCord.
Don't move, just leave your gun out. Here's a monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's a monitor.
Greetings and climb in. There's plenty of room alongside me as we travel the weekend road in our Monitor 67 in search of entertaining and informative sounds. I'm Gene Rayburn, and joining us on this leg of the journey will be comedian Pat Henry and Joe Garagiola. So don't take Peggy Lee's song literally. Lonesome is one thing we won't be.
Look down, that lonesome road before you travel on. Look up and seek your maker, for Gabriel blows his horn. I'm so weary, toting such a heavy load. I've been traveling down that lonesome road. Look down, that
Pat Henry, not to be confused with Patrick Henry of Give Me Liberty fame, is a comedian who often appears with Frank Sinatra or Sammy Davis when those two performers make nightclub appearances. Currently, Pat is playing the role of a policeman in the movie that stars Frank as a detective. And if that isn't confusing enough, Pat talked with Frank Knight, that is, a Monitor reporter, about Sammy as well as about Frank. Sinatra, that is. Just listen closely and all will become clear.
Pat Henry, was Sammy Davis the first big name you worked with?
Well, actually, Frank Sinatra was the first real name I ever worked with. They saw me in at the 500 Club.
Were you surprised when you were tapped?
Oh, I was thrilled, you know, not surprised. But the, see, in those days, the most thrilling thing was when Sammy caught me, because Frank didn't work that much. You know, Frank Sinatra would work 3 weeks, and that was it for the year. But Sammy Davis works 52 weeks a year, and you go all over, and you really apply your trade. You learn. You do something. You're seen by people. So when I left Frank, I went to a place called Blinstrib's. I was working with Nat King Cole, one of the sweetest men I've ever known. He was just beautiful. And I had a weird contract. Nat closed on a Saturday, and I had my contract ran till Sunday. See, this is fate, I guess. So I had to work one night with Sammy. And Sammy, now, if it was any other nightclub, Sam would never see me work, because the dressing room was in the balcony, and Sam could sit out and watch the show. And any other club in the world, I don't know of any other club where you can sit out and watch the show. You're usually behind everything. And he watched me work. And as I was packing to leave the next day, I get a phone call, and it was Sammy. He wouldn't even let the boss call me. This is the kind of a guy Sammy is. He called me directly himself. And he said, hey, I called you last night, you know. And he said, gee, sweetheart, I'd love you to work with me for the rest of the engagement. I said, gee, that would be wonderful, Sam. He says, okay, it's all set. You come back tonight. And I finished the engagement with Sam, and then he said to me, I have another month and a half to do with Bob Melvin, who used to travel with Sam, a comic. Wonderful guy, great comic. He said, then I'd like you to do the whole tour with me. And I was with him for 3 years. He says, I want you to stay with me until I can't afford you anymore. And so I did. And then he called me about 6 months ago. He says, will you go into a certain place with me? I says, how much? And when he gave me the price, he said, I can't go, Sam.
Well, Pat Henry isn't your real name, is it?
It's my first two names. My last name, believe it or not, S-C-A-R-N-A-T-L, Scarnato. But it's an Italian name. My father's from Italy. He came over here as a violinist. And when he came over, I guess violins weren't doing too great, because he quit that and he went into the garment business. And my father hooked up with a Jewish partner. It was the only Italian-Jewish partnership in New York that lasted for 50 years.
Pat Henry, tell us something about Frank Sinatra. What's your favorite story about Frank?
Well, a favorite story about Frank, I have about 10. When we opened in Pittsburgh on the tour, we went back to New York. We went to Jilly's, and we had a drink or two, and we had something to eat. And then about 5 in the morning, we're going back to Frank's apartment. I was staying at the apartment. He said to me, let's get some corn. We'll go up to my place and boil the corn. There was just Jilly, who owns the Jilly's restaurant, Frank and myself. So we stopped off at a little restaurant, a little fruit market on 9th Avenue. It's open all night in New York City. And we get out of this big limousine, and Frank Sinatra and Jilly and myself, and Frank walks over, and for laughs, he's picking peaches up and putting them in my pockets and putting them in his pocket. And the little guy who owns the store is looking at this man stealing his fruit and saying, gee, it looks like him. Can't be. What would he be doing stealing fruit in my market at 5:30 in the morning? And then when Frank left, you know, we took about $2 worth of fruit, and Frank gave him $50. And the guy was thrilled. But just to go around saying, hey, what'd you do with Frank? What, are you crazy? I went stealing fruit with him at 5:30 in the morning. That's the funniest story to me. You know, to be with Frank in a fruit market at 5:30 in the morning is wild.
Anytime. All right, let's wake up in there now. Well, sir, for comedian Pat Henry, being in a fruit market is wild, and he's certainly entitled to his opinion. Personally, I can think of wilder places to be, but I can't think of a more pleasant place than where I am right now with you, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
So you're a secretary, or a typist, or a file clerk. What does it mean? Go in at 9, leave at 5. Same routine, same rut, day after day. Funny thing, though. The same kind of jobs in your local hospital can be drama-filled daily experiences. You may handle the records of an emergency, record the birth of a baby. You may even sit in on conversations about new surgical techniques. Who knows? There's nothing humdrum about working in a hospital. So if you're a secretary, a typist, clerk, or even a buyer or an accountant looking for more interesting work. Work that's geared toward helping people. Work that carries a sense of excitement and responsibility. See the personnel director of your nearest community hospital. And don't be bashful. Discuss salary with him. The hospital pays just about the same wages as any other company. But the others can't offer you a daily dose of excitement.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
The time now, 16 and one-half minutes past the hour. Monitor brings you More Than a Miracle, Roger Williams, piano, orchestra, and eventually a choral group. Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Dodge. One look, one drive, and you've got that fever. Talk it up,
Joe. The exciting new 1968 Dodges are here right now at your Dodge dealers. See them today. Go for a test drive. There's a new Dodge for you in your favorite color with the features you want. Take Dodge Monaco, for example. Here's all you'd ever want in a luxury car. Plush comfort inside, a big car ride with V8 performance. Or the new Dodge Polara. It's bigger than the popular priced models, yet costs just about the same. For the young at heart, Dodge offers a 1968 Coronet, available in a wide range of models, from convertibles to station wagons. If you plan to go compact this year, why not go with the top-selling compact, Dodge Dart, America's biggest compact? And finally, you've got to see Dodge's candidate for Car of the Year, the all-new 68 Charger. Disappearing headlights, V8 power, bucket seats, all standard. Plus a sticker price that's reduced by over $100. Check them out at your Dodge dealers. One look, one drive, and you've got Dodge fever. Being the son of a great athlete presents some problems. A youngster whose father was, say, a big baseball star, often loses interest because the other kids expect him to be not just good, but great. Actually, this isn't restricted to sports. The sons of outstanding men rarely follow in their father's footsteps, and even more, rarely achieve the same kind of success. Later today, there'll be an attempt made at a new sports record, and the attempt will be in the same event where Daddy once starred. And the only difference is that the son doesn't know it. It's a horse race, one of the finest run in the country. The son who'll go to the post today is Damascus. His daddy's name was Sword Dancer. And the race is the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and if Damascus wins it, he'll become the biggest money earner for 1 year in racing history. And most people figure he's going to win it, too. Pat Lynch, the assistant to the president of the New York Racing Association, is a booster for every race held in New York. But he admits that he's especially high on the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He says, it's a great test for outstanding horses. First, it's a 2-mile race. And any horse that doesn't know how to take a deep breath better stay in the barn. Second, it comes late in the year when the horses figure to be at top strength. The list of winners is as impressive as you'll find for any race in America. This race has been won by Manowar, Gallant Fox, 20 Grand, Whirlaway, Citation, Nashua, and don't forget Kelso. Lynch feels that in years to come when people study the records, the most impressive thing about Kelso may be that he won this race no less than 5 times against the best horses in America. Sitting on the back of Damascus this afternoon will be Willie Shoemaker, who picked up a few paydays riding Sword Dancer back in 1959. That same year, Shoemaker was taken off Sword Dancer because of a previous commitment, so that he could ride Round Table. Because of that, he became an expert on riding Sword Dancer and getting beaten by Sword Dancer. This year, Shoemaker has spent a lot of time riding Damascus, so it's natural that he be asked to compare the two horses. And here's what Shoemaker says. Damascus is like Sword Dancer in a lot of ways. If the surroundings aren't familiar, he gets a little nervous. But except for that, he's mild-mannered and easy to handle. Like Sword Dancer, he's a one-run colt. He's not going to give you a burst of speed, then slow up, and then start up again. He's going to give you one big move, and he likes to come from behind when he does it. Sword Dancer had a heart as big as the world, and so does Damascus. But to really answer the question, I guess I'd have to say that Damascus probably would have beaten his daddy. Frank Whiteley, who trains Damascus, doesn't have much to say about the two horses, or anything else for that matter. He's a quiet man who lets his horses talk for him. But Elliot Birch, who trains Sword Dancer, sums it up best. He says, "I never saw a gamer horse than Sword Dancer, but I guess Damascus would have beaten him. There's only one thing wrong with Damascus. He's not in my barn." This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this for the associates. You know, in sports, the real pros are the guys who can get the job done when the going gets tough. And the same thing applies in business. So if you're having tough going financially, see the real pros, the associates. Chances are the associates can arrange a loan for you. When you need money for any good purpose, look in the yellow pages for an associate's office, associate's finance company, nice people with money to loan you.
Joe Garagiola, whose engaging, highly personal style gives an added dimension that makes enjoyable listening for even the non-sports fan, can be heard throughout the weekend on Monitor, weekdays too, on these same NBC radio stations. Now also engaging and personal, the singing of Andy Williams in his latest, Holly.
like lost in the brush. Blanche, where are you, Blanche?
I'm right here by the tent. Is that you, John?
Who'd you expect in the middle of this wilderness? Richard Burton?
Boy, I'm exhausted. Any coffee?
Here, I kept it nice and hot. And here's the coffee, Rich. Pour in all you want. I've got two extra cartons.
How do you keep the stuff so fresh?
In the cooler. Non-dairy coffee, Rich, stays fresh for 3 weeks. Did you catch any fish?
No.
Well, I knew you wouldn't, so I made this beef stroganoff. Look.
Beef stroganoff over a campfire?
It's easy. The meat cooked in no time, and I used Coffee Rich as a base for the sauce.
What's with this Coffee Rich? You've been putting it on the cereal, on the fruit, in the egg.
That's because it improves everything I cook. Taste this beef stroganoff. Go on. Notice how Coffee Rich brings out the flavor in the sauce.
Beef stroganoff.
How is it?
Blanche, if you don't mind, I'll just eat the sauce.
I knew you'd start
this. Okay, I'll need it. I'll eat it.
You've just heard The Bickerson, starring Don Ameche, Francis Langford, and Coffee Rich, the leading liquid non-dairy creamer. Let Coffee Rich star in your home with its delicious taste and low cost. In your grocer's freezer in the blue and white carton.
Written by that fine feathered group, the Bob Crew Generation, on monitor, nationwide on NBC. Serving the Safford, Arizona area is KATO. Brief pause next, then on we go, among the we, me, Gene Rayburn.
Ann Baxter talks about Halloween superstitions on monitor today on the NBC radio network.
This is Bob and Ray for the National Safety Council.
With readings from our Encyclopedia of Thoughts while flying through the windshield.
A service for those of you who refuse to use your car seatbelts.
Our first reading is...
I didn't see that car.
Then there's...
Gee, a guy could get killed this way.
Or simply...
I wish I'd buckled my belt.
Buckle up for safety.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
A bill has been introduced in the Italian Parliament which would prohibit political speeches on Sundays on the ground that when politicians speak, no one can rest. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's such a good idea. It doesn't include Saturdays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and...
Prison Monitor Guantanamera by Joe Harnell. Next, Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66 with The Frog. To and fro, your cheerful companion is Gene Rayburn. With the fastest moving show on radio, Monitor 67.
Take it down, come out.
Percy Faith and his orchestra there in chorus played and sung Windy. Which brings us to Monitor's expert on nothing with opinions on everything, Al Capp, who puts forth a few personal pointers on politics.
Senator Charles Percy has been mentioned as a possible Republican presidential candidate by everyone, of course, except Senator Charles Percy. Told a group of devout Republicans in Boston the other day that the only way their party could win in 68 would be by getting rid of its stuffy image. Now, I'm not a devout Republican, nor am I a devout Democrat, but I am devoted to the two-party system. And what I say is that the only way to keep the Republicans a major party and to save the two-party system is for them to cling to their stuffy image. What this country needs today isn't to get rid of our last few pitiful remnants of stuffiness, but to encourage more of it. Nonconformism has become so respectable that anyone who chooses to conform stops being asked to dinner by his friends, is detested by his children, and his opinion is never asked by people who take surveys. There are thousands of organizations, from the Civil Liberties Union to your local PTA, who are prepared to fight to the death for the nonconformist's right to disagree. But anyone so conformist as to openly agree, say, with his nation's laws, moral standards, or foreign policy, is in for a lonely and unloved life. Many of us, of course, would like to befriend conformists, but we can't risk being suspected as conformist sympathizers. No matter how stuffily law-abiding conformists are, we need them, if only to provide someone for our nonconformists to not conform with. There certainly is no one as stuffy as a man who respects the presidency, even though the man he voted for doesn't occupy the office. There is no one as stuffy as a student who doesn't scream obscenities at a speaker invited to his college, even though he doesn't agree with him. There is certainly no one as stuffy as a teenager who doesn't either take dope or peddle it, merely because it's illegal. And thanks to the liberalizing influence of the liberals, few such stuffy types are left anywhere in America. But if there are enough of them hiding out in the Republican Party to give it a stuffy image, it just may be the image this nation, stuffed to the gills with a nonconformist, it may be the image we're longing for. This is Al Capp from Monitor.
Pro-stuffy Al Capp will strut more of his stuff throughout the weekend on Monitor. Jack Jones next with a non-political type of philosophy in his brand new Live for Life.
Come with me, my love, and seize the day and live it fully, live it fast. Never thinking once about tomorrow till tomorrow's been and gone and passed. We'll pour the wine and fill the cup of joy and drink as if it were the last. Live, just live for life. In Paris today, in Amsterdam tomorrow, 16 minutes through the sky. Fly with me and see the setting sun and sun and stay with me to see it rise. And say to those who say to live this way is mad and mad, we'd rather be than wise. Live, just live for life. If you let me, I will lead you through the mystery and wonder of a world you've never known before. Share this time to be shared, magic places to explore, dare the dangers to be dared. Life is all of this and more. This and more. Yesterday's a memory gone for good forever, and tomorrow is a gift. What is real is what is here and now is all that we possess. So take my hand and we will take the moment, if for just a moment's happiness. Live, just live for life. Come with me to where the hills are green and still, fill the flowers to adore. Come with me to where the laughter rings. just live for love.
Minutes, we'll hear from a lady who's lived a long life helping others to live. She's the oldest practicing woman physician in the land, and she'll be with us on the Monitor Beacon.
Cutting taxes and spending can be more than just a campaign promise. In the town of Oyster Bay, Ralph J. Marino has already done it twice this year. Marino, majority leader of the town board, slashed 41% of wasteful spending from the $45 million capital budget proposed by Supervisor Petito. Republican Marino also applied his cost-conscious shears to Mike Petito's 1968 operating budget. When Marino finished cutting out the fat, the budget called for over $1 million less in taxes than the 67 budget. Had enough of big government and big spending? Michael Petito used to be Nassau County's deputy welfare commissioner, and you know how that department loves to spend your hard-earned money. Vote for a proven tax cutter on November 7th. Elect Republican Ralph Marino, supervisor, town of Oyster Bay, and give yourself a break. Paid political, Citizens for Marino and Roncalo, Edward Glazer, chairman.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Gene Rayburn once again, and at 14 and a half minutes before the hour, Monitor calls on Margaret Whiting for 2.5 minutes of music titled, I Almost Called Your Name.
We were dancing, and he laughed, just like you used to. He touched my hand, and held me. Just like you used to. And so close to my lips, the words came that I almost called your name.
There's a doctor in Philadelphia who's been active in practice for more years than most people live. She is Dr. Catherine McFarlane. She's been working to keep patients alive and healthy for close to 70 years now, and recently received the Blackwell Medal for outstanding service to mankind. The 90-year-old physician talked with Monitor reporter Alan Jay about some of the high points of her career.
Dr. Catherine McFarlane, you may be the oldest living practicing physician in the world, for all we know, at age 90. Is there anybody older?
I don't know of anybody, no. I would claim that distinction.
Well, how do you conduct a physical examination of patients today?
Same as always, right here in my office, on the table. Take their blood pressure.
No problems in...
Oh, no. No problems.
You, I understand, Dr. McFarlane, were the first doctor in Philadelphia ever to use radium for cancer.
That's right.
When was that?
1903.
That's 64 years ago.
It is. Yes, it is.
Well, how did you happen to use radium first?
Well, this patient had an operation for cancer, and it had come back. And she refused another operation. And her doctor, Dr. Dunton, sent her to me. And I said, I thought she ought to have radium. And he said, have you ever used radium? I said, no. But I've read about the good work that Dr. Howard Kelly is getting in Baltimore with the use of radium. So fortunately, the lady was rich, and she bought some radium, and I used it. And the disease was arrested for several years. But then it began to come back. But fortunately, she died of a carbuncle, so she didn't have the cancer really had not come back.
Dr. McFarlane, I understand the way you found out about radium was that you actually met its inventor, Marie Curie.
Well, that was later. That was years later.
Oh, I see.
Yes. X-ray, Rankin discovered X-ray the year I entered medical school, and Marie Curie discovered radium the year I graduated. And years later, I visited Marie Curie in her Institute of Radium in Paris and told her, thanked her for what her great discovery had done for women all around the world. And very modestly, she said, perhaps it did help the mansion. Perhaps it did help.
Why are there so few lady doctors?
Because the men get the jobs in the medical schools. We have only 8.5% in this country, and in England it's 15%, in France it's 15%.
Well, is there still a prejudice against women doctors?
Oh, no. They're very welcome, I think. But they're not given the opportunities. The men's medical schools, since we have suffrage, have admitted women. The latest one was Jefferson, you know, a few years ago. But on an invisible quota basis, which averages about 5%, and that's not enough.
Mm.
So the women's medical college, which is missing 100%, is very much needed.
You have never married, I understand, have you?
Not yet.
You mean at the age 90, you still
no.
may marry?
No.
You find the right man?
That is a trouble.
Why did you never marry, Doctor?
Well, the men I liked were already married, and I got too busy. Couldn't bother with them after that.
Dr. McFarlane, what is the secret of living to a long life, such as, in your own case, 90 years old?
Choose your ancestors. My mother lived to be 101. Choose your genes and take good care of them.
Thank you so much, Doctor, and continued good health and long life to you.
Thank you, Mr. J.
This is Alan J. for Monitor.
Dr. Catherine McFarlane of Philadelphia with some advice of the tongue-in-cheek variety about longevity. Not very easy to pick the right ancestors, but you know something? There may come a time when you can be furnished with a set of genes which would guarantee long life. Or you could move to Philadelphia, where life just seems longer.
What's the matter?
Turn over on your side. Go on.
Oh, Catherine. Oh, who put this block of
ice in my bed.
It's not a block of ice. It's a frozen carton of Coffee Ridge. Lay on it.
Why should I lay on frozen Coffee Ridge at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Because I want it to thaw out.
Oh, this is insane.
You know Coffee Ridge is your favorite non-dairy liquid creamer.
Okay, put out the light.
You like its rich taste? It's better than cream, right?
Right. Now, just put out
you
the light.
You like the way it tastes on cereals and freshens the flavor of fruits, right?
Blanche,
it has fewer calories per ounce than cream, right?
The lights, Blanche, put out the
lights.
And
you like the way it stays fresh 3 weeks in the refrigerator, so there's no waste.
Oh, dear.
And you love its new low cost. Now roll over on it and keep it warm.
What am I, a mother cow?
Coffee Ridge doesn't need a cow, John. It's the leading liquid non-dairy creamer.
Holy mackerel, I married a radio announcer.
Two people who never are cowed are John and Blanche, the Bickersons, played by Don Amici and Francis Langford. Walk into your grocer and demand liquid non-dairy Coffee Ridge. You'll find it in his freezer in the blue and white carton.
From Vietnam, a hair-raising story which has nothing to do with combat. The jungles there are not considered safe by American soldiers, but when Lieutenant James Herod of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, went to sleep in his tent surrounded by a whole battalion on guard, he expected to be comparatively free of danger. It turned out quite differently, as Jack Russell, NBC News, discovered.
I understand you had a very upsetting visitor the other night. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, sir, I sure did. I was asleep about 9 o'clock in my bunk, and I heard my recon sergeant come up to my tent with a flashlight, and he made some noise like, oh, Lord, oh, God, or something like that, and I woke up and I felt something on top of me, and I immediately thought it was a rat that was on me, but when he made this noise, I knew there was something more than this, and I just laid still while he was standing right outside the tent. And at this time, he had a stick with him. And he stuck his stick in there trying to get the snake off of me. And he must have hit it because I heard something fall off of me and felt it hit the ground with a thud. And I heard him holler medic real loud. And the minute he hollered that, I knew that it was some sort of snake in there. And I just got out of the tent as fast as I could. But if it hadn't been for Sergeant Gouchy getting that thing off of me, I definitely would have slapped it because I thought it was a rat or something like that. And more than likely, I'd have been bitten by it.
What kind of snake was it?
It definitely was a cobra. We killed it, and it definitely was a cobra.
How long was it?
Approximately about 4.5 or 5 feet. It was a good size.
Just the first cobra you've ever seen?
The first, and I hope it's the last one I ever see, especially on top of me.
Well, thank you very much.
In Vietnam, Lieutenant James Herod of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, with Jack Russell, NBC News. Well, we understand the lieutenant's outfit, the 1st Battalion, 28th Infantry, learned one lesson from this. Discarded C-ration cans attract hungry rats, and hungry rats attract even hungrier snakes. At base camp is a lot cleaner place since the cobra's visit. Town Without Pity, Herb Alpert with his Tijuana Brass. Gene Rayburn with Monitor, where we'll get with the latest news in a few moments.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep to for sports and views now. From everywhere. From everywhere.
You are with a Marine officer serving as a forward artillery observer in Vietnam. He is the eyes of the massive Marine howitzers. The firepower he directs will clear the way for other Marines. To a Marine officer, leadership is simply defined. Be there when called, stay until the job is finished. If you are a college man who would be a leader of men, become an officer of Marines.
Hello, this is Dr. George Brothers on WNBC, Plaza 7-8866.
The listener's problem, teenagers and violence. The answer.
More and more, we're seeing violence for the sake of violence and not for money alone. There's a stimulation, a courting of danger, an illness which erupts into
Dr. Joyce
violence.
Brothers, weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on WNBC.
The breakdown.
Because he knows all the answers, Lee Leonard's telephone never stops ringing. Afternoons at 1 on the Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.